New World Witchery is a Patreon-supported podcast. We'd like to thank our show sponsors.
Corvus, Diana Garino,
Renee Otters, Ye Old Magic Shop,
Raven Darkmoon, The Witch's View Podcast,
Sarah, Molly,
Catherine, Athena Beth,
Jen Rue of Ruin Hyssop, Shannon,
Little Wren, Michael M,
Victoria, and Jessica.
We'd like to thank all of our sponsors for making New World Witchery possible. If you'd like to help us make this show, consider heading over to patreon.com/newworldwitchery to pledge your support.
Thank you so much.
Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Witchery.
This episode is a recording of our recent live broadcast via Mixlr of Ghost Stories for 2016. Enjoy.
Okay, I'm not sure if I'm doing this right, but hello, welcome to our live ghost story broadcast.
Hello. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm doing it right either. It's one of those things, we actually practiced this, believe it or not. But when we practice it, there's always the chance that technology is not going to be our friend when we get on
yes.
The actual live thing. But I think it seems to be working. We had somebody bounced on for a second and then disappeared. Well, that's... Oh, well. They'll be back. They're always going to come back. So hi, Lane.
Hello. Sorry, I was taking a drink.
That's okay. It's nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
Since we have sort of a limited amount of time, I figure... What I'll do is I'll go ahead and say, we've got about an hour. This show is specifically all about ghost stories. So if you are interested in ghost stories, this is the show for you. We're going to have a set of ghost stories that people have sent in to us, both as text, some are voice recordings from our voicemail number. And then, you know, we may have a couple things of our own. We're also going to welcome people to come find us and join us live on the air if they're interested, if they want to share a ghost story. If you want to do that, if you want to listen to us, just you can listen to us on the Mixlr website or the Mixlr app. Those are awesome. If you want to talk to us, you need to find us on Skype. Our username is Compass and Key, CompassandKey. And just send me an IM to let me know that you want to come on to share a ghost story, and we can bring you on. And once you're on, we also ask that you mute the Mixlr app or website in the background, because otherwise it creates an echo. So,
mm-hmm. On the website, that's the little gray bar underneath the follow button, and it's to the left of that. So,
Yeah. Hopefully
that's a good enough description.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be fine. Especially since nobody's listening just yet. But I think we will have other people popping in and out. If you are popping in and out, you want to join in, again, just send us an IM on Skype at Compass and Key is our handle. Okay, well, do you want to get started with our October ghostiness?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Ghosty goodness. Cool. So I think the first thing I'm going to read, we have one of our kind of longtime correspondents and friends. Goes by A. Claire. That's not Eclair, like the pastry.
It's Eclairs.
I know, I like Eclairs. I would eat a haunted Eclair. forbidden donut. but she actually has a really cool job. She gets to work in some archives where there's a lot of material from the local Catholic Archdiocese that comes through. And she sent me, like... one of those letters that you're like, oh my god. Like, oh my god. It's pretty, like, creepy and crazy. And I should also say, if you're listening with small children, there may be occasional I won't say like super bad language. There's one ghost story that uses the B word in it a few times just because it's the name of part of the ghost story. So just slight explicit warning there. But this one, I'm just going to go ahead and read it based on what she sent me. It's redacted, so the names are taken out and some of the locations are taken out, but you will still absolutely understand what's going on, okay?
Okay.
All right. So it starts off, to the most reverend Archbishop Coadjutor. And any letter that starts off that way is my kind of letter. Most reverend sir, we are writing this letter in the hope that it may be an instrument in providing some concrete examples of the activities of the occult in the Archdiocese of blank, and eventually that it may in some way bring to light the need for protection and teaching. We have become concerned due to some strange happenings that have occurred in our apartment building during the time we've lived there. The first strange happening occurred in 1967 when my wife heard a woman walk through the apartment above her every morning for 2 months. This happened when no one was home up there. If she called, she could hear the phone ring. However, the second it rang, the noise ceased. She even searched the apartment, but no one was there. Eventually, this quote-unquote spirit stopped. In 1971, one of our tenants reported seeing a woman's shape in her hall. It was very dark and late, and she was holding her son on her lap, giving him a drink of water. She was frightened, but didn't say anything in order not to scare her little boy. The boy saw it, though, and asked, "Who's that, Mommy?" At that moment, the shape disappeared. In 1972, at 2 p.m. one afternoon, the apartment doorbell rang. My wife went to see who it was, but no one was there. This happened roughly every hour, but she more or less ignored it, figuring it was children pulling a prank. When it turned dark and she was alone, it began to frighten her, because no matter how fast she got to the door, no one was there. I decided to check the next time the doorbell rang. We made an arrangement whereby no one would have time to leave before I arrived at the door. Even with this arrangement, we could not find anyone at the door when the doorbell rang. We came to the conclusion it was not a person causing this disturbance. We had hoped to have an exorcist come or a priest who functions similarly to bless our apartment building and cause these spirits to leave. We were rather surprised and disappointed to find there is no one in our archdiocese who performs this function. It is especially disturbing considering the fact that many television programs and magazine articles support or in some way deal with the occult. We know a freshman girl at R. Blank High School who personally knows 3 witches who go to that school. I also know that we are not the only ones experiencing such strange phenomena. The beginning statements in the above paragraph are supported by information we've received from our assistant pastor, Father A. of Parish in M., and also from the advice we have received from the Chancery Office. In conclusion, it seems the enemy is doing much to cause problems, but we Christians are doing little to stop him. If we can be of service in any way in modifying the situation, please do not hesitate to contact us. Prayer for
Very Lawrence. Creepy.
Isn't that great? I love it so much. Oh, I love it. It just makes me happy.
It's a pretty creepy story.
Yeah.
Answering the door and no one being there.
The one that got me was the tall, dark woman in the hallway
mm-hmm.
while she's taking care of the kid, and the kid's like, "Who's that, Mommy?" And you're like trying to be all calm not to freak out the kid, and the second the kid does that, you're like, mm-mm. Nope. Like, I don't have to be here. I don't have to be here. I can leave. I have a car. I have keys. I have a full tank of gas. Goodbye. You know, like, I'm done. So, okay. So, any other thoughts on that one?
Nope. That was a good one, though.
I like it. I like it so much. Okay, so our next one is, we're going to actually let you hear it in their own voice. And this one, what happened was the person called in the story, and it's a little bit longer of a story, and the voicemail stops you at 3 minutes and then starts over, so you're going to hear it kind of break in the middle. But I'm going to try and make it as seamless as possible, all right?
Okay, and also we have to kind of, since there is a delay, we have to listen and then kind of come in. So if there's a little bit of a delay after it ends, then bear with us.
Yes, yeah, we are here, we are listening, so.
Yeah.
All right, So let me pull this up. And go.
So I am a first-time caller. I listen to your show all the time. And I listen to all your old episodes because I do very long drives. And I was listening to your Magical Pennsylvania podcast, and I used to live in Pennsylvania. I have a story that goes from really scary to really silly, really quickly, and actually starts out silly and then gets terrifying and then ends up being really dumb. So, but I thought it might be fun. You guys might get a kick out of it. So I used to live in this really small town called South Park, Pennsylvania. It's in Allegheny County. And when I originally lived there, I was really young. And then I moved down to Florida, but I still kept in contact with all these friends. So when I graduated, I was 18 years old, I decided to go back to South Park, which used to be full of these really long stretches of woods that, as kids, we would just run around in and be back for supper, and, you know, that's just how we lived back then. And I get there, and it's, you know, everything's mostly, all the trees are chopped down, everything's bulldozed and new and shiny, but there's still a lot of old roads that are just covered in woods. So me and my friends are catching up, you know, on the last 10 years or whatever since I've been gone, and one of my friends pops up with this folktale, because we have a lot of little folktales here throughout the city about certain haunted houses and ghosts that used to live in the woods, or little people that would live in the woods. But she started talking about this road that two of her friends went down and saw a faceless old woman. And the creative name that they called her was a no-face bitch. And no-face bitch would be just standing on the side of the road, and then she would lunge out of the car, and then you just keep driving, and when you come back, there she's nowhere to be seen, but the radio static would cut out and fill in all these other little creepy things. So we used to go ghost hunting as kids. We decided, you know, like, let's relive the old times. Let's go ghost hunting. Let's go find No Face Bitch down No Face Bitch Road. So that's what we did. We went driving, and we're joking around, obviously not really even thinking about finding anything, just being silly, all getting ready to go to college, so we need a couple laughs before life gets serious. So we're going down, and we see a couple people when we first get there, and they're running. And we're, of course, joking, like, oh, they must have seen the no-face bitch. And she went to get him, and now they're running away. Laugh, laugh, laugh. We keep on driving about maybe a mile down the road. We make a bend, and caught in our headlights is this tall, completely white figure, no facial features, long, dark. This is part two of No-Face Bitch Road. So she has this long, dark black hair that reaches down to her waist, no face, tall, completely stark white, and holds out a hand toward the car, and we immediately start screaming at the top of our lungs, and just the person driving the car, she floors it, and we go past, and we're all, like, hyperventilating. What did we just see? Oh, my God, the faceless bitch is real, and we're terrified. And we keep driving, and now things start getting weird because the radio completely loses signal. And, of course, that was something else that her friends had told us. So now we're like, well, we're going to die. This is the part of the movie where the gas drops out and we all die. So not wanting to become a movie, we decide to turn the car around instead of keep going down No Face Bitch Road, which is a pretty long road. Most of the roads are really winding and very sharp turns and would put NASCAR to shame. So we decide we're going to turn around, and if we have to face No Face Bitch again, we're just going to brave it and try not to get our souls eaten or whatever the consequence is. So we're driving, and we're mentally bracing ourselves for someone or something to jump out at the car, and you know, the radio's still silent. We have no signal whatsoever. And then we finally see the all-white figure again, and we, instead of screaming, start dying of laughter because we now see that this was a young man with a black towel around his neck, or a black shirt around his neck, with very large, baggy, white clothes that is kind of just dancing around on the side of the road with headphones in. And we are just cackling, realizing how completely dumb we are. And so that night we decided to go home and never go ghost hunting ever again. But that is my ghost story from living in Pennsylvania and visiting again. I love your show. I hope you at least got a kick out of this. Bye.
Okay. That was pretty good.
It's pretty great, right?
I love those that they start out creepy and then like there's a totally rational explanation for it.
I know, I love it. I love up to a certain point you're like, oh my god, that's the most terrifying thing in the world, and then you're like, oh, some dude just dancing on the side of the road, it's awesome.
What was he doing?
Oh, probably X, probably.
Yeah, that's the better question. What drug was he doing?
Oh, goodness. So, anywho. Yeah, that was a great one. Thank you so much to the caller who provided that. I didn't get permission to use that person's name, so I'm not going to use that person's name, but thanks for that. That was awesome.
Absolutely. Well told, too. That was good.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so let's see. I think the next one we've also got is another voicemail. So this one, the person says their name is James, and I'm going to put this one live. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Corey. This is James Anderson from Utah. I had a story when I was younger and my great-grandmother passed away. It was probably 3 or 4 at the time, and they were at the cemetery and they were burying her, and I wandered off and my mother found me in the children's section of the cemetery playing jump rope by myself, and when she picked me up I pointed up and said, "Mommy, I want to go up. I want to go up, Mommy, I want to go up." There's also another story of the first place my mother rented. This is in Humboldt, California. She was driving home one day and saw someone in the window in front of the kitchen wrapping their head in a towel. And when she went inside, there was no one there. House always smelled of roses, was always cold, and there was a crack in the floor that kept repeatedly showing up no matter what they did. Happy Halloween.
All right, thank you.
Ooh, I like that one. Thanks, yes. James. That was really good. So, that one's nice. I love the details on that. I love the house always smells of roses.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That gets me. I don't know why. I get chill bumps about that. Cool.
Right. Well, is that the only two call-ins that we had?
Yes, those are the only two voicemails that I have. That I could find. And then we've got some people who emailed us some things in that we can read. I do want to let people know, since we have some folks that are coming on, they can jump on if they have ghost stories to share. If you're listening via the Mixlr app or the Mixlr site, that's totally cool. That's the perfect place to be listening. If you want to share your ghost story, you just need to add us on Skype. We're Compass and Key. And you just send me an IM and we can bring you on to tell your ghost story. All right?
Mm-hmm. Or, heck, type it up if you don't want to actually come on. Just type it up real fast and we'll read it from the chat.
That's true. Yes, you can actually do that from the chat. So, if you want to share it via chat, you can do that and we'll just read it from there. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. But until then, I will read another one that we have. Okay. This is from D, right?
Yes.
Okay.
She's actually two of them, right?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, she says, "I hope this Halloween season is treating you all well. I've been loving the strange tales this year, Corey, and they've been absolutely fabulous, and your character voices are incredible." You just had to leave that in there, didn't you, Corey?
Look, I copied and pasted the email. I can't help but find fabulous.
That's true. Okay. Thank you for taking the time and effort to give us such great auditory delights. So she says, I'm writing in a couple of my personal ghost stories and one not quite ghost story. They're not terribly frightening, but they're 100% true. So I hope the trade-off balances. And I've read them before when we got the email, and I think they're pretty creepy. So, when I was 5, my family moved into the house I grew up in. The mother of the previous family had passed away there not long before, after a lengthy bout with cancer. I always thought her spirit was about, but she was never troublesome or upsetting, and it was a lovely home to grow up in. I remember a sense of warmth when occasionally a chair would rock on its own or other such things occurred. She was never malevolent. One night when I was about 12, I had the most terrifying dream. It shouldn't have been so scary, but it filled me with dread. It was black and white, and I was staring out my window. I could see myself in the back, and a long, diagonal shadow slashed across my out-of-body view, hiding my lower half in darkness. Out of the shadow, as if it were part of it, a hand reached out and settled on my shoulder. In the dream, the me in the window didn't move, but inside I was quaking with fear and utter terror. Shooting up in bed, I screamed bloody blue murder, my eyes open, just as my blind, which had been drawn low, suddenly whipped up, rolling upright in an aggressive flash without having been touched. Okay, that's pretty creepy. Mm-hmm. I felt a presence in the room, that diagonal shadow slanting through the window, and I screamed again. Terrified, the man in the shadows was going to come and put his hand on my shoulder and claim me. My mom was banging on the door because, for some reason, it wouldn't open. I didn't have a lock on my door. Then, strangely, the rocking chair in the corner of my room began to rock, creaking loudly, and the door gave way. My mom ran into the room, and the presence fled. All that was left was the rocking chair slowly settling into silence as I sobbed in my mom's arms. The presence never came back, and I've never gotten rid of that rocking chair.
Okay, let me tell you, your first problem is that you never got rid of that rocking chair.
Because... No, that was the good one.
No, that's true. That's very true. Like, for me, I'm like, nope, next day that is kindling. No, that's awesome. That is a really, like, I get chill bumps just hearing that.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine, like, sitting bolt upright in your bed after having a horrible nightmare, and then, like, your window shade comes flying up?
No, I can't and don't ever want to, thank you.
Even if it was, like, you know, just... Because those things can be kind of sensitive. I used to have those in an old house of mine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can be kind of sensitive. So even if it wasn't, you know, it was just totally mundane, that's still super creepy. For it to happen right when you wake up from a nightmare.
Yes. Yes, that is super creepy. And no, I do not want that to happen. So.
All right. You want me to read the second one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, actually, why don't you read this one? Because I want to read the other one that we have.
Oh, the dolls?
Yes.
Yes, okay. All right. Okay, so this is also from D. The second ghost story I'll share is an odd one. Because while it focuses on me, I didn't really experience it. It happened in college. There's a time and a place for everything. It's called college. D says, I shared a dorm townhouse with 3 other girls. I worked 2 jobs at the time and was often gone, coming and leaving again at odd hours to make my shift. When I was gone, I'd turn off the lights in my room and lock the door. When my lights were on, my roommates knew they could come in and chat or what have you. One night when I was working, 2 of my roommates were home. Both swear this is true. On 2 separate occasions, they recalled seeing someone who looked like me in my room, my locked room, with the lights off. Once my roommate walked by and the door opened ajar like a breeze had pushed it. She peered in quickly, as you do, and thought she saw me sitting at my desk. The way she described it, it was a girl about my height with dark hair and a ponytail. She didn't think anything of it and went to her room. She came back out, and the door was closed. Later on that night, my other roommate was heading up to bed, and she swears she saw me from the landing go across from the washroom into my room. Again, a girl about my height, with dark hair and a ponytail. Later, they wanted to invite me to watch TV, and went to come into my room, but the door was locked and the lights were off. I guess they both discussed what they saw, the girl, and just decided that I must have gone to bed early. I remember coming back from my late shift at the school library and shouting out a hello from the front door, only to be greeted by twin, high-pitched shrieks as they ran from the upstairs back down, scared out of their minds and swearing up and down they'd seen a ghost and that she was inhabiting my room. I admit I was a bit hesitant that night to unlock my door and go to bed in my apparently haunted room, but my ghost girl never seemed to trouble me. The other not-quite-ghost story took place when I was 14, when my Oma died. I had a dream that my family was walking up this very long staircase to her hospital room. As we were trudging on, she appeared all spry, with a kerchief around her hair and a red balloon in her hand, and just started running right past us. Oh, that's fun. I shouted after her and asked where she was going in such a hurry, and she said, "I've got to go! They're playing soccer on the green, and I haven't kicked a ball in ages. I have to go. See you!" And just gave a backwards wave and kept running, the red balloon unraveling from her hand and floating away. When I woke up that morning, my mom was in the kitchen, and I had a funny feeling. I asked how Oma was, and unsurprisingly, my mom told me that she'd passed on in the night. And those are my two ghost stories and one sort of ghost story. Like I said, they're not super terrifying or the most entertaining. I think they're great. I think they're awesome. But if you're really short on time, throw these in. Happy Halloween, you lovely witches. Happy Halloween to you, Dee. You are selling yourself short. Those are great.
Yeah, those were pretty good. It seems like that's like sort of a doppelganger type of experience.
I know, right?
Which really creeped me out.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, the idea of like, there being like another you or a shadow you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people, there's the lore kind of behind it is if you see your doppelganger, then that's kind of like an omen of your death.
Yeah.
But yeah. She didn't see it. Her friends did. So what does that mean?
Well, but I mean, it's also one of those things where like people will see. I mean, just like her Oma, she saw like the mirror of her Oma in that, you know, dream state, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that as well. So, I mean, I think, you know, I think in the South, like, don't we call those, like, forerunners, right?
Have you ever heard of that? I've never heard that, no.
Okay. Well, in the South, we call those forerunners.
Not in my South.
I was going to say, not in the South that you're from, apparently. No, yeah, I've heard those called forerunners. That may be something that's maybe more specifically sub-regional or something, but, yeah, the idea is that they... You know, you see them as a way of knowing that the person has died. There's a lot of stories where people will see them, and it's not like they're not scared of them. It's just one of those things where they get, like, it's the only way that they know that their relative has died until, like, the next spring when the wagons can pass, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's a possibility.
Okay.
Anywho, yeah. Do we have anything else to say? One of the things in, I think it was in the first story that Dee sent in about the hand on the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Reminds me of something I did. There was this thing that you could do. There's a famous sort of ghost story creature thing called the Bell Witch that I'm sure some people have heard of, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some people have heard of that. And there's this thing that you can do. It's just like, you know, with Bloody Mary or any of these others, where like there's a thing that you can do that's supposed to summon them. And like if you summon them, then they can interact with you, usually for the worse. And I remember when I was like, it was in elementary school. I want to say like fifth or sixth grade. The way that you were supposed to summon the Bell Witch was that you would go into a dark room, turn the lights off, you know, keep it really, really dark, and then spin around in the dark, and you would say, "I hate the," and I'm not going to say it out loud.
Yeah, I'm pretty superstitious about it. See, I didn't learn that until college. We did Bloody Mary, and that you would say that three times. And I remember my cousin doing that to me. I was laying down to take a nap, and he had come in there and was, you know, harassing me basically. And I think he said it twice, and I just started shrieking. I mean, it wasn't even like screaming, it was shrieking. I was so upset. I was like, no, because I was so freaked out by it. And yeah, I don't play around with that.
Yeah, when I did the Bell Witch one though, I did it in my elementary school bathroom. And as soon as I finished, I saw this hand come out of one of the bathroom stalls and like try to grab me by the shoulder. And I could not leave that bathroom fast enough. Oh my God.
That's right. I remember you telling me that story.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's
so freaky. Wasn't it like kind of like a skeleton hand?
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, for lack of a better term, it's kind of like one of those, like, it was glowing green kind of a things, but it was more of like, it was just kind of, it was so dark, it stood out against the dark. because it was not the right color. Like, it was just this, like, eerie, pale palette sort of thing.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, it was super creepy. I have a friend, you mentioned Bloody Mary. There's one version of Bloody Mary where she actually is from the town where I teach. She goes by, what's her name? It's like Frau Gensmuller, I think is her name. Frau Gensmuller is her name. And she, is apparently, so I teach in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and there's a local story that she's the Bloody Mary of legend, and she would lure young children into the woods using a mirror and then, you know, do what people do, I guess, or do what witches do with children. I don't know. She ate well. I don't know. And so that's why, like, when the townspeople finally, they shot her with a silver bullet, but she cursed the mirror, and so then she could reappear in mirrors and stuff like that. So that's a little bit of local lore for me, but I'm sure there are towns all over that claim to have the original Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's such a well-known thing.
There's one of my cohorts in my PhD program who is awesome, and I think I love her. She's just wonderful, but she won't sleep in a room that is adjacent to, like, a bathroom or anything with a mirror if the door is open at all to that to that room. She's like, no, because Bloody Mary will come and get me.
My best friend, like, we roomed together for a year or so, and she would always cover her mirrors before going to bed at night. You know, like, she had, like, a one over her dresser, and she had, you know, just like this, like, loose, like, kind of flowy fabric scarf, you know, nothing too heavy, that was really wide, and she would just toss it over that mirror, and I mean, every single night without fail, and it just freaked her out, and I don't blame her. I actually have a kind of a funny story. So I was spending the night with a friend of mine, visiting her in another city, and she had an apartment with those closet doors that are mirrored that they slide on tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I get up to go to the bathroom because I'm sleeping in the living room, and I go into her guest bathroom, which is in her guest room that she had set up as an office, hence while I was sleeping, like, on the couch. So I go into the bathroom, you know, I'm done, I wash my hands and everything, and I had kept the lights off mostly so I wouldn't wake her up. It was a small apartment, and so not to wake me up fully either, you know, because the bright light would just keep me awake. So I come out of the bathroom, which is adjacent to the closet doors, and I kind of look up, and it's me, but I scare the crap out of myself because I looked like the girl from The Ring. Like, my hair was hanging down around me, and because I was trying to avoid looking directly into the mirror, I was kind of looking up, you know, like, through my hair a little bit. Oh my god. It scared the crap out of me, and it was me.
Oh man, that's funny.
Oh, but anyway.
That's great. I wonder how many times people have done that where they it's just, you sort of expect to see something creepy, and so you
right.
do, and it winds up being you, or, you know, right. a dog.
Right. So. Okay. Well, do you want to do our next story?
Yeah, let's see. So that is, hang on, I gotta pull it back up. All right, this is from Morgan. And Morgan says, "Hi, Corey and Lane. Just sharing a ghost story to file away as you please. Hope you enjoy, and I swear by the gods it's 100% true. My wife and I live in Texas, not too far from an area called the Big Thicket National Preserve. I actually became interested in this area from a story I read online from some physicist/scientist examining areas known as sources of negative gravity or gravity wells. Yes, this is a real phenomena. Such areas were believed to coincide with numerous strange events, UFOs, Bigfoot, ghost sightings, missing time, etc. Anyway, one of these areas was in the Big Thicket, and we made plans to rent a cabin close by and go check it out. I could tell you other stories about the Big Thicket, but I'll just talk about the Ghost Road. It's about 7 or 8 miles long, perfectly straight, because it used to be a railroad track. Legend has it there was a trainsman who, due to a terrible accident, lost his head while working along the track. Supposedly, the strange light people would see at night, supposedly the strange quote-unquote light people would see at night was the lantern of the train man looking for his head. Well, my 20-year-old daughter decided to join us last minute, so the three of us are at one end of the ghost road at midnight, and it was really dark and creepy outside. The thicket is dense, with a lot of undergrowth and large, tall trees. Even during the day, there are many areas which, if you could walk 2 feet into it, no one could see you. About 2 feet off the side of this narrow road was such an area of the big thicket. So I was cruising along at about 10 miles an hour, and I stopped about half a mile and turned my lights out. We're all looking around, and it's so quiet. Too quiet. Then, I see a light down the road. I later notice 2 lights, and I'm thinking, bummer, it's just a car. I turn my lights on and look for some place to pull over. I pull over and park, waiting for this guy to pass me. I watch the lights slowly coming down the road, then they drift off to one side and disappear. I pull back onto the road, moving very slow, and approach the point where we notice the lights drifting off to the side. There's no road there, no house there, nothing. Where'd he go? This happened twice. Well, the third time it was just a pickup truck with a couple of people possibly doing the same thing we were. So by now we're about halfway down this road, but this time it's a single light, brighter, coming down the road. I start looking for a place to pull over, and it disappears. I stop, and we're looking around. Then a single light approaches from the rear. It's close. Where'd he come from? Remember, it's a straight road, and we're out in the country. We had our windows down, and you can hear someone coming 2 miles away. We look again, and it's gone. I continue forward. About 2 minutes later, another single light suddenly appears. We're slowly approaching the light, not hearing any engine noise, and another single light approaches from the rear. We continue moving slowly, both lights getting closer from the front and rear. We still don't hear any noises. About the time both lights are within 50 feet, they disappear. My daughter yelled, "Floor it, Dad!" I sped up and got to the end of the ghost road. I looked back in my rearview mirror and saw nothing. Sweet dreams. Smile. Blessed be. Thank you, Morgan. That was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Those stories of, particularly haunted spots in roads or, like, bridges or, you know, where somebody died or something like that, they're so creepy to me.
Yeah, we've actually got, so there's two, because so I teach folklore, and so one of the things I do is I have students turn in, like, local legends and stuff, and I have a student who turned in a local legend today about, do you know about, like, Gravity Hills?
Yes.
So there's a local place nearby here that's a gravity hill where you park your car, and it looks like it should be rolling one way, and all the cars in the car will start moving the other way. So those, I think those are super creepy. And then we've got one, if you go just past Philadelphia towards New Jersey, there's this road where as you drive down the road, all the trees look like basically they started growing straight up, right? And then at some point in time, they literally bent almost at a right angle away from the road and started growing away from the road on both sides in the opposite directions. And it's one of those roads where, like, there's a lot of stories about, like, satanic cults that have performed weird rituals and stuff along that road for years and years and years. And a lot of people report actually, like, driving down that road and suddenly having black SUVs appear out of nowhere and start following them until they get off the road. And, like, other really creepy stuff. I think it's called the Devil's Road. So, So yeah, the creepy road stuff. Ooh. It's always... Ooh.
There is another podcast I listen to. I've not listened in a while, but they had, it's pretty much what we're doing tonight. It's called Anything Ghost, and he's been doing it for years, and it's just people write in or call in with their stories, and he presents them, and that's that, basically. And, there was one about a guy who was a trucker, and he was behind this other truck that was carrying, towing a car, basically. And the car kept, like, the brake lights would keep going and the headlights were flashing, and he thought somebody was in the car. So he, just the way he tells it, like, he has this great southern accent. I mean, he tells this story really well, so I'm not doing it justice, but he, like, ends up following this truck for however long, and he finally stops at a gas station, and he goes up to the guy and he's like, "Oh my gosh, there's someone in the car you're towing. You know, you've got to get it," or whatever, "you got to get them out." And they go and look, and there's nothing there. And he's just completely freaked out by it, and he was just really thrown off by it. And this is also kind of random. I'm kind of just doing like free association here with this, but I always think of the X-Files when I hear like kind of car and like highway type stories, because like they were, you know, I don't even remember what episode or season even, but they were transporting like, you know, an alien body in just like an unmarked car. It was just no big deal. And whenever I'm on the highway and I see like a tractor trailer and maybe like, you know, some sort of black SUV or nondescript car behind it, I'm like, what are they really transporting? Not necessarily alien bodies, but, you know, just anything. I'm always like, I wonder what's in there, you know?
Right. Well, there's, if you go like towards, I can't remember where it was, but there was some place that we were driving towards. It may have been like Oak Ridge at one point when we were driving someplace with the kids, and we were near Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which is a famous nuclear facility and has, you know, some associations like the atomic bomb test. And like, if you ever listen to Limetown podcast, basically that is Oak Ridge is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Only not, that's not, the stuff in Limetown didn't actually happen at Oak Ridge. It's just, they're using like weird nuclear facility with lots of secret stuff going on in rural Tennessee as a basis for the story. And Oak Ridge has some of that kind of lore around it. Oh, sorry if that made a big old ding-a-ling.
I didn't hear it on my end, so I don't know if the listeners heard it.
Yeah, if they did, then it was a very pleasant chime. So Oak Ridge, we were driving down near there, and we looked over, and they had, like, there's this truck transporting something really, really, I don't know what it was, but it definitely looked like it was something that would have been like a part of a space shuttle or something similar. And it was just one of those things, like, you see it and you're like, I don't feel comfortable driving on this interstate anymore.
Right.
I need to go somewhere else now.
Right.
So anywho. Just as a reminder, if you have a ghost story you want to share with us, we would love to have you on here. Please feel free to do that. All you need to do is, you can either send it to us via chat, you can possibly send it to us via email. I think we would still get it because we have our email up. Or you can let us know on Skype. Just IMS at Compass and Key is our username, and we can bring you on to actually share the story live. So, cool.
Yeah. So, would you like me to read the creepy doll story?
Yes.
Okay, so this was sent in to us a while back, and we just kind of kept it on the back burner, like, maybe we'll get a chance to read this at some point. This was after our doll episode, and I had mentioned American Girl dolls and and how those are like the only ones that I'm okay with, basically, and every other one usually creeps me out. So this person wrote in about a creepy story with an American Girl doll. So she says, Lane, please don't take this personally, but I hate American Girl dolls. Also, maybe don't read this if you're getting this email.
Too late.
But no, it was good, though. It did creep me out when I first read it. So I was 9 years old when the Kit doll was released, and I was given one as a gift because, hey, girls like dolls, right? And besides, this one happened to look a lot like me. Like, a lot. At that age, Kit was a dull carbon copy of me. Same eyes, same hair, same everything. If you made a wildly accurate doll of me at 9, it would just be Kit Kittredge. And at first, that was kind of fun. Even though I read the books and knew Kit's story, I would pretend the doll was a little second me. We'd have all the same opinions on what my mother should give us for dessert, and what games were the best, and just about everything else. I would do her hair like mine every day, and she slept with me in my bed every night. Sometimes I'd have dreams where she was the same size as me, and we would play together like we were twins. We were super twin BFFs. But after a few months, things started getting kind of weird. I'd come home from school some days, and she would, say, have her hair done differently than I'd remembered doing it when I'd left. Or she'd be wearing some play jewelry I hadn't remembered putting on her. It didn't really creep me out, but it was very curious. One of the first few times it happened, I told my mom, And she wrote it off and told me something along the lines of, "Oh, you just forgot you did that." So I think I just assumed she was right. But by the second half of the year, I started dreaming that I was the doll and she was the girl. And even though I was just the same as a doll as I had... Let me start that over, I'm sorry. And even though I was just the same as a doll as I had been as a girl in my dreams, she wasn't as nice and fun as a girl as she had been as a doll. So a few times I woke up in the middle of the night, and rather than being under the covers with me, she'd be lying at the foot of my bed. I started growing scared of her. I stopped playing with her, and when I would go to sleep, I would actually stick her under my bed. Then one night, I had a really awful dream where this girl Kit was being super mean to the doll me, and I woke up to see the doll, which I was sure I'd stuck under my bed before I went to sleep, like I did every night, on the foot of my bed, sitting there, back against the footboard, staring at me. I was absolutely terrified, but for some reason, rather than screaming for my mom or, like, leaving the room or something, I just sat up with my back against the headboard, hugging my pillow, and stared, horrified at this doll for the rest of the night. To this day, I can't stand those glassy doll eyes. They make me so uncomfortable. After that, I stuck her in the back of the playroom we had in the basement and never went down into that room again. I don't know what happened to her. She was probably donated with all of my other toys when I was old enough to not want them. I ended up getting rid of all my other people dolls, too, because sometimes at night I just think of waking up to them staring at me, and that freaked me out so much I just shoved them all away and quit using them. I was super into Pokemon at that point anyway, so I just collected Pokemon and animal dolls instead. But still, I'd put them all away in a toy chest before I went to bed because I just couldn't have things staring at me at night. So she concludes by saying, "So yeah, dolls are terrifying."
Truth to that.
She says, "As an adult, I occasionally try to explain to myself that I could have actually forgotten the way I dressed my Kit doll, or that I might have woken up in the night and moved her and just not remembered." Or something that came to mind for me when I was reading this just now is maybe your mom came in to check on you and thought like that it had fallen and so put it back up on the bed for you. Because I know that's totally something I would do, you know, for my kid. So.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not here to debunk anybody's story. It still is terrifying.
Yeah. I'm going, it's Halloween. I'm going with it. It was creepy and terrifying. Oh, my goodness. And then, I was going to say, so, like, the whole doll thing. I've sent you photos of this, but whenever we stay at my in-law's house, like, we stay in this room where my mother-in-law, bless her heart, keeps all these old, like, really old, like, porcelain-faced, like, old-fashioned dolls, right? Which I'm sure are worth some ungodly amount of money. I have no idea. But they're all posed in the craziest poses. Like, one's, like, a child bride doll, and it looks like she's, you know, recently been murdered and is laying across a chair.
And oh, my.
And one of them is, like, a little boy on his knees, like, screaming up to the sky.
Yeah, I... Like, some of the older dolls, they just... No, thank you.
Cool.
No,
thank you. So we have one of our listeners, Ivy. I'm not gonna say the last name because I'm not. It's always one of those things where I'm never sure exactly if I should use the last name or not. But she has sent us. she just told us that she thinks American Girl dolls are creepy, which is true. That is a true thing.
I don't find them creepy for some reason. I think I did kind of as a child. I mean, like, it was so weird. Like, I felt like they protected me, but at the same time, I was a little freaked out. Because I guess in my mind, I still thought, well, hey, they still, like, move around, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. They're essentially all copycat Robert the dolls. That's all it is. Well, so Ivy sent us, she basically wrote a poem that was based on a Halloween experience that's also connected to a ghost story. And I don't know, I think it would work better in your voice if you happen to have it available. Do you?
Yeah, I can pull it up. Yeah, I got it.
Cool. Would you be willing to read that?
Yes. Let me actually take a drink right now, if you don't mind. Sorry.
Right, mouth sounds, everybody.
Here we go.
Take your shot.
Ivy says they want to steal your soul. I hope not, because I have a lot of them, I'll be honest.
And guys, I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure out, I can't figure out how to turn off the little sound alerts I'm getting on my computer. Lane's not hearing them, which is good.
I'm hoping it's not picking up for the listeners, but
it may be picking it up. If it is, it's, again, it's a pleasant little thing, but I don't want to, you know, overwhelm people with it. But, you know, anyway.
Okay. All right. We ready?
Go for it.
Okay, so this is a Halloween ghost poem by Ivy. On Hallow's Eve, I walked alone, passing the cemetery on Ravenswood Road. My mother scolded from behind, "Don't go too far," but something was calling, drawing me near, a low rhythmic chanting, slight to the ear. Near the tall oak, I saw a shadow dance, oblivious to everyone, as if in a trance. A cauldron to the left, a broom against the tree, then the shadow slowly, so slowly, turned to face me. "There you are," she said, with an all-knowing smile. "It's time for your first lesson in magic, my child." She grabbed the broom and reached for my hand, leaving tracks in the damp soil as we began to dance, singing, swaying, circling round the tree, chanting words unknown, yet somehow familiar to me. As the ground began to sink, we moved faster and faster, and what did I see? The witch was not herself. She had transformed into a creature I couldn't yet name. She had fur, a tail, and ears that were triangular in shape. Her wide were growing as she released my hand and time stood still, her movement became frenzied, and she chanted a name, not mine, not hers, but one I knew just the same. Abruptly she froze, her prickly fur rising, sensing some danger. She knew before I that it was the voice of a stranger, who would soon be drawing near. The chanting went silent. The witch had disappeared. Somehow I knew I would see her again, because the witch had shifted into a familiar lost friend. Dear listener, I was right. The very next morning, the shape-shifting witch appeared at my door as Ruby, my black cat, who ran away only 3 nights before.
Aww.
That's pretty cool.
I love that. That's so cool. Aww.
Thank you so much for sending that in. That's great. I hope I did it justice.
Yeah, no, I love that the cat showed up back at the door. That's such a cool thing to like have that experience and then like have it like sort of manifest in some way.
Yeah, like go from pet, it seems like, to familiar almost.
Yeah. That's I hadn't even gone with that. I was just going with like, oh cool, the cat made it back and like had this dream or this like sort of like vision experience. I just think that's cool. So cool. Well, we are down to our last 10 minutes. If anybody wants to share your ghost stories, you've got about 8.5 minutes left to do so. You can, like we said, you can email us. You can catch us on Skype at Compass and Key is our username. We can bring you on live to share your stories. You can cut and paste them into our little chat box. Whatever works. So.
Yeah. Since we're kind of tapped out on our stories that we have to read, I'll share a personal one.
No, not allowed. Forbidden.
I mean, we could just have dead air. That's fine, too.
I think our listeners would prefer that. No, I'm kidding.
So, I don't remember exactly when this happened. It was only a few years ago, but my husband was out playing a game with his friends, and I was just home. I remember I was reading, so it was very quiet. And I got up, to go to the bathroom, which I feel like a lot of my stories start or end with, I was in the bathroom, and that's kind of awkward, but anyway. So I hear our front door, like, open and shut. And it's like a metal door, it's not like a dainty type of door. You can definitely hear it when it closes. And I heard a voice say, it's so weird because it kind of was like a mix between I'm home and I'm here. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't quite make it out. And I would have said it sounded like both. It didn't quite sound like my husband, but who else is it going to be? So I just assumed that's who it was. Like I said, I assumed that was him. So I finish up, wash my hands, and I go downstairs, and no one's there. So I call him, and I said, hey, did you just walk in and walk back out? Are you in the garage? Are you in the backyard? What are you doing? And he said, no, I'm still at, friend's house. We're still playing. And I was like, okay. because I just heard this. But then I realized that the dogs had never moved. And that is super unusual for our dogs. They would, you know, if somebody was even in the yard, you know, they could hear it and they were up and looking and possibly barking and, you know. So that was really strange. And I've done like a little research on it, and that's actually a fairly common thing for people to hear. It's called like false arrivals or something like that, or I don't remember the exact wording that people call it, but it's pretty common for that to have happened. But the more I thought about it, the more I think it sounded like my dad, which is super weird. I mean, because if you don't know, he's passed and had passed at the time for several years. So, yeah, it was just a strange little experience that I don't really have an explanation for. Because, you know, you could say, oh, it's like kind of a residual thing. But why would that sound like him? But if it was him, why would he say, he wouldn't say I'm home. I guess he could say I'm here. But right. I didn't really hear anything else for the rest of the night. And that's actually, I think that's kind of the last experience I've had in this house.
Oh, so it could be one of those like I'm home is sort of a way of saying like I've made it where I need to be or where I need
maybe.
To go.
I never really thought about it. Yeah.
Hmm. Ooh, spooky. Also comforting and peaceful as well, but spooky. So it can be both. That reminds me a little bit. This is something I actually shared. I shared this on. So today we released an episode for our Patreon patrons. Basically, it was sort of a bonus All Hallows Read episode. And all month long, we've been doing these like weird tales stories. And so there was this, I did the H.P. Lovecraft story. But it was one of his dream cycle series, so I shared a couple of my kind of witchier dreams. And there's one that's this cross between kind of a dream and a ghost experience, and it was, I had just put my son back down. He was less than a year old, and I was getting back in bed. And all of a sudden, I felt the door to the bedroom open, and there was just kind of inky blackness in the hallway behind the door. And I felt something kind of coming from around the corner down the hall. And I couldn't see anything, but I could feel it kind of entering the room. Like, I could sort of feel the distortion in the space where it was. And then all of a sudden, I felt it kind of brush the hair away from my forehead, and I could smell coffee. And I had fairly recently put up my ancestor altar in the living room, which was just around the corner from the hallway. So it was... And so I think I had the strong sense that it was my mom coming to visit me. So,
did she have like a particular affinity for coffee?
Well, every morning I would get up and I would make her a cup of coffee and bring it to her and sit in bed and talk with her.
Aww. That's sweet.
It is sweet. So she was also free child labor, but you know. So hey, we've got just about 3 minutes left, and. I'm just gonna say Victoria. I'm not gonna use last names, but Victoria is sending us a mini story via chat that I want to share.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "So short but sweet. My dog Mikey passed last November, just days before I ran a half marathon. I remember that, Victoria. It was sad, and I'm sorry for your loss." But she says, "He used to hug me around my neck when we snuggled, and halfway through the race, he joined me. I felt him hugging me for about a mile and a half. I guess bringing some of his fur along for the race made him want to join me." That just melts my heart.
That's so sweet. I actually just lost my dog last week. And that's nice. I also kept some of my dog's fur.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aww.
I know. I remember meeting your dog. Your dog was a very big sweetie, literally. A very big sweetie. So,
yeah. Sorry, not to like make that about me though. That's really a cool experience though.
Yeah, yeah, that is. So thank you, Victoria. We really appreciate you sharing that. I think we're kind of closing in on the end here. I'm just following the chat now, and it's very very sweet. So I think Lane, do you have any final thoughts? Any closing parting words of wisdom?
Probably not of wisdom, but just thank you to everyone who sent in stories, or even who didn't necessarily send in stories for this podcast, but still had sent us in something that we were able to use. That's pretty fantastic. So,
yeah, and don't feel like you know, just because you didn't get one in for this episode or anything like that, that you can't keep sending them in. Please do mm-hmm. Email them compassandkey@gmail.com. Come by the website newworldwitchery.com and share these things with us. This is probably not the only time we will ever do a show like this. We will probably do this again.
So. Yeah, this is fun. I actually remembered one that we got in, I guess, a few years ago about someone who had like some sort of werewolf experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I really wish I had found that and been able to read it, but we will save it for next time.
Yeah, it'll be perfect. Okay, well then, that being the case, I think we're going to kind of start closing it up. Again, we really, really appreciate everybody joining us for this. Mm-hmm. If you want to reach us, as I said, compassandkey@gmail.com or newworldwitchery.com, you can find us in either place. And that's about it. So, Lan, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Be well.
Happy Halloween.
Hi, I'm Chucky, and I'm your friend to the end. Heidi ho. Ha ha ha.